Let's have a professional chat to us on Impact Radio. Gerrit Viljoen from Ultima. Good morning, Hannah. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Birgitta. I'm wonderful. It's probably been the best day of my life today, so I'm doing very well.
Why is that, Gerrit?
Well, first of all, the Lord is alive, and that to me is the most important. And then I can still work. I'm healthy. I'm living in a beautiful country. So I'm just very happy to be here and be alive.
See God's goodness in everything. Gerrit, thank you so much for making time to be on Impact Radio's Morning Drive. As you are well aware, it is National Wills Week from the 12th to the 16th. And I thought it would be really good to have someone such as yourself that is the expert in this area. We did a bit of a poll with our listeners on Tuesday, and a lot of people saying that they don't need a will because they don't have enough assets. What is your take on that?
Well, Birgitta, we find that not just in the poll that you are running, but we find that every day when we speak to people and they have this misconception that you have to be very wealthy before you need a will, and that, you know, if you only started working and you've got the bare minimum, you don't really need a will. Now, that is absolutely untrue. I would go as far as to say, if you love your family, if you love your people, your children, your parents, you will make sure that you do have a will, because you are allowed to draw up a will from a very, very young age when you are 16 years of age. So the very important thing, if you do not have a will, there's certain rules and regulations that have to be followed. And that is very onerous. And the problem comes down and all the hassles on the people that's left behind. And a lot of people don't realize that. They just think, well, if I just have a car, give that to my sister. And if I have some money in the bank, my parents can take that. It's not like that. There's legal consequences. So it's so very, very important. And this message, I mean, for the last 35 years that I've been involved, it's been punted that people should make sure that they have an updated will, and still many people don't give heed to that.
Gerrit, when it comes to expenses, I mean, people have seen interest rates go up several times this year. The petrol price has gone up several times. Yes, it has gone down a little bit, but it hasn't really eased when it comes to finances for some people's budgets. What are the kinds of expenses one has to incur to get a will?
Well, this is very interesting. If you go to a legal firm, they might charge you, and the cost for a will could be as high as 1,000 Rand, 5,000 Rand, all dependent on the complexity of your will. But in general, you can have a will drawn up for free. People like us, even though we have advocates and legal people in our firm, we are not allowed to charge for the setting up of a will. So there's no excuse for anyone to not have a valid will. You can draw up your own will, which will cost you nothing. You must just make sure that you have the important aspects in the will that's necessary for it to be regarded as legal. So that's not an excuse. It will cost you nothing to set up a will. So whether it's doing well in the economy or not, there's no excuse for not having a valid will.
Gerrit, when it comes to updating your will, how often should that be happening?
Well, you see, Birgitta, that's a question of what has been changing in your life. I would say, if nothing has changed the last 3, 4, 5 years, you don't need to update your will every year. I mean, if you have a financial advisor that you do meet with every year, he will, or she will probably ask you, has anything changed in terms of your family structure, if you have had kids? Because if you just look at a simple will, it will say normally, if you're not married, it will say my parents or who you want to inherit the money will inherit that. And if nothing has changed, you don't have to change that. But let's say you get married. It's very important then to draft a new will, because your old will, if you had one, will probably bequeath all that you have to your parents, and now you're married to your wife and you've forgotten to do that. And if you then die, your parents might still inherit everything, but now you've got a wife. So whenever something important changed in your life, not just if you change your work, if something financially, you bought a house and that wasn't part of the your first will. Although when you have a simple will, you just bequeath my whole estate to X or my whole estate to Y. One of the biggest problems we find when we wind up wills is that people bequeath certain items to certain people, but then there's things left over that they don't bequeath to anyone. And that should be actually mentioned in a will. Otherwise, for that part of your estate or your will, you will actually be interstate. And that's just a legal term, which means that your will has no jurisdiction over that. So that's why we normally say, go to somebody, your financial planner or somebody, to help you if you're just starting out to set up a will. Obviously, if you've got a company or you've got a lot of assets and you've got a trust, you don't need, or you basically can't do it yourself. I don't think you will be able to do it yourself. But if you're starting out, you don't have a lot of money, you don't have to incur costs to get a will. One of the things, Birgitta, I think I just want to mention, because we see this basically on a day-to-day basis, is that people bequeath certain items to their family or to their friends, but the will has not been tested to see if it's practically executable. Now, let me just explain what that means. For a will to be practically executable, there must be enough money flowing into the bank account of the estate if you die, to be able to wind up the estate. So let's say, for instance, you want to leave 50,000 to every friend of yours, but you only have and you have five friends, and you only have a life policy of 100,000 rand, which will go into the estate's bank account. Then there's not enough money to pay out some of your beneficiaries, and that creates a huge problem. Now, this is just a simple example. That's why it's more important when you draw up a will to get somebody to have a look at it to see if it's practically executable, meaning that the will be able to be wound up in case that you die. Now, why is this important? Because if there's a problem in your will, it takes so much longer for the estate to be wound up. Because then either the house must be sold or your car, which you bequeath to somebody. It's just a technical mess. So you should draw up a will, but then make sure that it's practically executable.
One last question, Gerrit. You've made some very valid points, and I think even points that people have not maybe even thought of. But the last question for today's interview is, who gets to decide who gets what? And I'm thinking of a married couple where maybe there is this idea that because you're married, you get to decide where your husband's assets go, who gets what, and vice versa. But who gets to make that final decision, who gets what in your will?
Well, let me just start off quite clearly that every person, they can decide what should happen to their assets. Now, it's a bit more complicated when you are married a certain way. If you are married in community of property, you basically have a single set of assets. It's seen as if you and your husband, everything you own is his and his is yours. So you have an undivided half part of your estate. And this is what we often see people don't understand. They think that they can bequeath the whole estate to somebody, but in fact, they are allowed. If you're married, remember, it's only if you're married in community of property, if you haven't set up a contract before you were married. So what happens then, you can bequeath 50% of the assets, of the total assets, to anybody that you want. Normally, obviously, a wife will say, I bequeath my half to my husband. Then he actually has everything. If you married out of community of property, you can decide, and only you, what you want to do with your assets. So you can bequeath it to anybody, to your spouse or to anyone you want, your parents or so forth. So that's what we call the power of testation. It's your money, it's your stuff, it's your assets, and you decide. And that is the wonder of having a will. Then you can decide what you want to do with your asset, how it should be bequeathed, and how it should be distributed. If you don't do that, the government has certain legal requirements which might not suit you. And you say, well, I don't care. I'm just going to let everything just be as it is. The government can decide. You don't want to do that because I think it's inhumane towards the other members of the family. I mean, we can speak about an hour just on this, but I don't know. I don't want to take up more time. Birgitte, I don't know if that answers your question.
It sure does. Thank you so much. Gerrit Viljoen from Ultima. Great to have you on The Morning Drive.